On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast available now.
I would say I've gained more confidence in the offense and knowing, you know, exactly what and where and all these different things. And then, you know, just the belief and trust and that I have in them to be able to do their job is paramount for us. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to hold everybody accountable. And, you know, I get held accountable every day. And, you know, I want to be able to win these games and be in these big moments. And so we have to be accountable to each other. And that's one of the most important things in these big games, these playoff games and, you know, things like that. It's the fundamentals, the details that win you games.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
You just heard from the Mariano Rivera of the National Football League, Caleb Williams. No one closes out games better than Caleb. There are a whole bunch of kids who I bet over the last few weeks have been asking their parents to get them matcha tea prior to games, just like their favorite quarterback. He has the ability to influence a lot of people, including tonight's ball game against the Rams. At stake, a chance to play Seattle in the NFC Championship game next weekend. Hi, everyone. Zach Zaidman with you. It's a Bears bonanza. We're talking all Bears until 10 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a lot. Robbie Gold, candid as always, joined us in the last hour. We're going to have three Bears guests this hour, including the two-time Illinois Sports Writer of the Year, Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic, who joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Kevin, good morning. Before we get to the Bears, why wasn't that a catch by Brandon Cooks in yesterday's game in Denver?
Good morning, Zach. And wow, you know, when I watched it live in real time, I thought interception. You know, like, I just didn't think that was enough of a completing the process of the catch, which is what they tell us has to be a catch. You slow it down, you watch it in slow motion, and you start to wonder, I don't know, how could he, if he had the ball and he hit the ground, shouldn't that be enough? But I still think that based on what they have told us a catch is, I think he still had to do more. I think he still had to possess the ball for longer to complete that process. But I will say this, Zach, I do agree with Sean McDermott that I was really surprised that was not given an extra look or two, that they did not spend some time with it, and they were able to just make that call as quickly as they did. I understand his frustration, but to me, I still think that was the right call. That was an interception.
You know, I'm glad you brought up what Sean McDermott said after the game, and take it a step further, and Josh Allen with the tears at the podium and his teammates in the locker room talking about just how gut-wrenching of a loss that was. And here you have a team in the Bills that year in, year out, they're in the playoffs, they make deep postseason runs, and then get knocked out in heartbreaking fashion. And I bring that up because there's a belief here with the Bears that they're building something very special. And this is just scratching the surface, what's happening this year, the start of something special. But that doesn't always happen. And you never know if you're going to be back in the position that the Bears are in tonight, which is why I think it's so critical to be able to take advantage of it. You've been covering this team full-time since 2013, right?
Correct.
You know better than anybody. These moments, they don't happen often.
It's January 18th, Zach, and I'm talking to you about a football game. I'm not talking about a head coaching search or the look for the next play caller. We're not breaking down mock drafts and quarterbacks. This is unfamiliar territory in the post-Lovie Smith era. And you're right. I think Bears fans should be hopeful. They should be excited, and they should be grateful, and they should appreciate that there is an incredible game tonight, or what we hope is an incredible game tonight against the Rams, with the opportunity to go to the NFC Championship game. I mean, all you have to do is talk to any Washington Commanders fan about what happened last year compared to what they're going through right now, where their team is hiring new coordinators. Go talk to New York Giants fans the year Daniel Jones took them on that miraculous run in Brian Daboll's first year, and look where they're at now. Now they have some hope with a new coach and a rookie, and will be a second-year quarterback, but in this league, it is so difficult to sustain anything, and this city has been unable to do it for so long. So, you know, like, yes, it would be great for the Bears if they finally got it right, and Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are the duo that can make this thing go. But I tell you what, Zach, you and I are going to be on the air together, you know, late next summer, next fall, and we're going to be talking about a very challenging schedule. We're going to be talking about a team that's going to have everybody in the league gunning for them. But right now, they've got an opportunity to be one win away from the Super Bowl if they can take out the Rams tonight at home in frigid temperatures.
Visiting with two-time Illinois Sports Writer of the Year, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. You wrote a terrific piece this week recapping from a bunch of different angles the incredible throw that Caleb Williams made on 4th and 8 last week against the Packers that saved the season and essentially led to the comeback that put the Bears in the position that they're in tonight. You've had all week to digest what transpired last week and to kind of look ahead to what you think is going to happen tonight. I'm going to give you the floor here. What stands out to you as this day unfolds and you look forward to tonight's game against the LA Rams? What's running through your mind?
What's running through my mind, Zach, is how are they going to handle Matthew Stafford? I just can't get past that thought of, can Matthew Stafford throw for 400 yards tonight? Could he, you know, what do they have in store? And then the flip side of that is, even if you find ways, you know, whether it is the weather or certain things that Dennis Allen schemes up, the Rams have an outstanding rushing attack. And I just think this is the most well-rounded team the Bears have probably played all season. From what they can do on the offensive side of the ball to what their defensive line is capable of to the guy who's calling the plays for them in Sean McVay. But to me, it all comes back to Matthew Stafford. And Zach, you look at the teams that are still alive right now. Obviously, Denver's got to go to Jarrett Stidham. Seattle's got Sam Darnold, who's had a remarkable season, right? But you still always wonder with him, with the turnovers, what it's going to mean. You look at Drake May, remarkable season, but it's only his second year, his first playoff run. C.J. Stroud's had an up-and-down season. He did not look great at times in their playoff win over Pittsburgh. And then you come to this game. I mean, Matthew Stafford, to me, is like far and away the quarterback that's still alive that you feel most comfortable with. And that's the guy the Bears have to beat tonight. And, you know, look, the offense has done some great things all year. They've done some phenomenal things in the fourth quarter. So they've put themselves in position that they're never, you know, they're never out of it. But look, you go back to that San Francisco game and what Caleb Williams did that night when he was able to go shot for shot with Brock Purdy and that 49ers offense. And that gave, I think, a lot of Bears fans and people probably that building a lot of hope about this offense. Well, the Rams defense is not the 49ers defense, right? And so I just think that this is just such a well-rounded team. I'm fascinated to see what Dennis Allen has to try to contain Matthew Stafford. And then obviously on the other side of the ball, how does this offense avoid empty possessions? How do they avoid settling for field goals? Because I just, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't downplay the weather. I think the weather is significant, but it's Matthew Stafford, man. Like, that guy is so good. He's probably the MVP this year. And I think everything about this game starts with him.
I said that earlier to start the show, but the thing that I can't escape is while the Rams are a better defense than what the 49ers were against the Bears in Santa Clara earlier this season, I still watched Bryce Young torch this Rams defense. Bryce Young and the Panthers offense, not considered lethal, they torched this Rams defense last week. And then I think of what Caleb has done, and I know it doesn't happen the way you think it usually will. It takes Caleb, and I said this earlier, like an old car in the cold Chicago weather. It takes a little bit of time to heat up, but once that baby heats up, it goes. That's Caleb Williams. And once he gets on a heater, get out of his way, like a great basketball player. And I can't see the Rams stopping the Bears offense with the great coaching of Ben Johnson, with the offensive weaponry that the Bears have. And I know they're tweaking the line on the left side, but Caleb's still Caleb. And this is a Rams defense susceptible to the deep ball, and that's what he does so well.
And that is the biggest matchup advantage probably for the Bears. As you look at Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, DJ Moore, Colston Loveland, right? You look at that Rams secondary, those are not Pro Bowlers. Those are not, you know, big names. They've had some injuries back there. They've had some challenges, as you said. You watched what Coker did to them last week in Carolina. That is where the Bears hope to be able to attack. And it's going to come down to the protection, right? It's going to come down to Caleb Williams having time. It's going to come down to the scheme and the play calling and the ability to get the ball out quick. And you can get the ball out quick when you have confidence that a guy like Colston Loveland is going to get open or catch the ball if it's in his radius, that Luther Burden is going to get open and catch the ball if it's anywhere near him and then run after the catch. So it's going to be – that is right. You're right, Zach. That is where the Bears can take advantage. That is where they can go after him. You know, it's funny that 49ers game, they didn't run the ball great early on. They had a couple big runs in the second half, but they didn't need it because they just kept being able to throw it. And that, I think, is a really telling game when you look ahead of this one, that can they figure out a way to get the ball out quick and take advantage of a Rams secondary that their pass catchers should be able to get open against.
All right, Kevin Fishbane, our final few moments from the noted Bears beat writer of The Athletic. By the way, we're going to have your teammate, Dan Weider, joining us in the next segment. But before we let you go, every reporter's got a big-time notebook, and there's no way you've emptied the notebook this week because there's too much material. What do you wish you were able to add this week that you couldn't because there wasn't enough time or space?
Yeah, Zach, it's a great question. And, you know, certainly with some of the reports coming out about what could happen to the left side of the line, you know, you kind of wonder if we could have dove deeper there and even considered the possibility of a switch up on that offensive line. But I go back to the matchup against that Rams offense, and I want to talk about Kyren Williams and Blake Corum for a second because that is a two-headed rushing attack. That is what's going to be a problem as well as Stafford, because if those guys get 4, 5, 6 yards of carry and it's 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, Dennis Allen can't do some of the things he wants to do. And I bring that up too, Zach, because remember, the Bears are without T.J. Edwards. And what that means is, yes, DeMarco Jackson's done a really nice job filling in. But the depth chart then, it goes to who's the number three, right? And maybe that doesn't matter in certain games. It matters against the Rams, who are going to run with 3 tight ends a lot of the time, 2 tight ends. They're going to try to pound the ball with the running back. Who is that 3rd tight end? Or is it going to be C.J. Gardner-Johnson or Kyler Gordon? Are they going to be in the nickel or the dime? Are they, you know, 5 defensive linemen? That's something they've done against teams that like to run the ball, where Daniel Hardy might be out there as your extra kind of lineman-linebacker hybrid guy. Or you have Andrew Billings out there a lot more. I think that kind of how that front 7, what Dennis Allen tries to do with his personnel to make up for the loss of T.J. Edwards, to try to contain that Rams offense, that's something I probably would have wanted to spend more time on because, again, Stafford deserves all the credit. Puka Nacua deserves all the print that we gave him. But that's a really good running game against a front 7 that's already struggled this year, that's down starting linebacker. What is going to be that X's and O's game? What is going to be what Dennis Allen tries to do to get the Rams to be in 3rd and long?
Next level stuff with 2-time Illinois Sports Writer of the Year, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. Here's my little tip for you, Kevin. Tonight, bundle up.
Are you familiar with what it's like to be on the Soldier Field in cold, Zach?
I never wore the scuba gear on the sidelines, but I would say if you're outdoors, if you're going out as a fan and you're going to sit in the elements, bring some Vaseline, wipe it along the cheeks and the nose so you don't end up looking like Tom Coughlin did way back when at Lambeau Field. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. You'll understand. Kevin, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zach. Take care.
Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic spending some time with us. When we come back, one of the more familiar voices on The Score, Kevin's teammate at The Athletic, Dan Weiderer. Next, Zach Zaidman with you until 10 o'clock on The Score.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What have you seen from the guys this week that's shown you that they were able to enjoy, celebrate, and then immediately get back into?
Yeah, it's where we're at this time of year, you know, new season, and you can't linger too long on what's going on in the past. You can't really think about what's going on during the season or reflect or anything like that. So it's all hands on deck to find a way to win. And I think our veteran leadership's done a great job of navigating the ship.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
That was the head coach of the Bears, Ben Johnson. He's all business all the time, unless he's taking off his shirt and doing that stuff at the end of games in the locker room that we're lucky enough to see because the Bears posted on social media. By the way, we're moments away from talking Bears with Dan Weider of The Athletic, and I don't want to just limit him to The Athletic. He's a Score contributor. You hear him on Take the North, but I do want to point out that we are so excited here at The Score about our FM debut on 104.3 The Score coming February 2nd during the Mully and Haw Show. That's right, all Score shows, Cubs, Bulls games, the whole deal on FM. High fidelity all the time, including right here in downtown Chicago. The Score will still be heard on 670 AM, but starting Monday, February 2nd, the debut of 104.3 on FM. The simulcast is presented by the official sportsbook of The Score, Circa Sports, sports betting the way it should be. Zach Zaidman with you. We're talking Bears. This is a huge game day. Bears-Rams at stake. Chance to play Seattle next week on the road in the NFC Championship game. So we're talking Bears until 10 o'clock. Lou Kanellis will join us coming up, in about 20 minutes from right now. But we want to bring in the familiar voice that you hear nearly every day on The Score from Hallis Hall and more, Dan Weiderer, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Dan, have you been outside at any point this morning yet?
No, not this morning yet. The windows or the shades are open. And it looks very sunny out, but I have not felt the cold that is likely out there waiting for us.
I went outside to drive to the studio, stopped to get some coffee, and I can tell you it's not fun if you live in Chicago to deal with this weather. I can't imagine what it's like if you're flying in from Southern California, because there's nothing there that can prepare you for what you're going to have to deal with tonight.
Right. And so, like, that is a process for the Rams to go through, both during the day today and then when they get to Soldier Field and start to go through the pregame warmups. It's acclimating to that. It's acclimating, if you're Matthew Stafford, to seeing how your finger reacts to cold, right? Like, and seeing what you can do with obviously an injury that we're going to keep an eye on throughout the game. And so, look, I don't think this is going to be the biggest factor in who wins this football game tonight, but it's part of the game and it's part of the elements. And the team that handles it better will put themselves in a better position to move on to the NFC Championship, where the Seahawks are awaiting, and the Seahawks, if we judge by last night, are ready for whoever's coming their way.
So, but before we get to that, take us inside Hallis Hall. I know that the players and the coaches get asked about the weather, but privately, I'm not talking about questions that they have to answer from the media, and therefore those sound bites become available. How big of an issue is the weather for the Bears?
Well, you know, I just think it's sort of case by case, individual by individual on how guys adjust to it and react to it and prepare themselves to operate in it. You know, I do bring this conversation back a lot to the kickers, you know, and I just, like, there's a confidence in Cairo Santos inside that building and a confidence in Cairo Santos within himself that, you know, he's been here for a long time now. He understands what these elements are. He understands that stadium they're going to be playing in. He knows how to play it. And that does give you an advantage, because you are going to be playing a Rams team that doesn't operate in this type of weather often. They've got a kicker that's only been around, you know, for 10 or 12 games at this point. And so with a special teams advantage that you expect to be pronounced tonight, the kickers are part of that. And I think that's going to be interesting pregame to kind of watch those guys measure their range, get a feel for the wind, and try to get themselves settled into a playoff game that's got a lot on the line.
Dan Weider is with us from The Athletic. You hear him on the Take the North podcast with Mark Rohde, and you hear him all throughout the week right here on The Score. All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Bears apparently making some big changes on the left side of the line. What are your thoughts?
Curious. I'm curious. I'm curious to see how this works. I'm curious to hear the reasoning behind it if they do indeed decide to move Joe Tooney out to left tackle and put Jordan McFadden in at the guard spot. You know, you've gotten this far because of the strength of your interior. You've gotten this far because that trio in there has become so good at playing off one another, playing with one another. And so it feels like a move that would shake that up a little bit. And maybe you feel that's necessary against this Rams front that challenges you in a lot of different ways. Maybe you feel like Theo Bennett isn't quite ready for this type of challenge with this much on the line at this stage in his development. But I'm curious. I'm curious to see how it shakes out, and curious to see then to hear Ben and the coaching staff and the guys that are around try to explain where their thought process was.
Yeah, because on the surface, you would think, man, you're weakening two positions to try and fix one, but yet Ben Johnson has earned so much trust with all the moves that he's made this year. I mean, if he said tonight, Tyson Bagent gives us the best chance to win, you know what? Go ahead. Start Tyson Bagent. I think most Bears fans would be like, curious, but hey, Ben Johnson says it, we're going to do it.
Well, that hypothetical certainly would turn the NFL world upside down. And I don't know that you'd have enough time on the radio today to handle that discussion if that were to come up. But to your point, I think what Ben has been so good at is earning the trust, right? First of all, of his players, of you know, you hear them as the scene has gone along. And, like, trust is you know, born out of seeing something that's put to action work, right? Like, and guys say that all year, like, what he says works. And so they will believe in him with whatever decision he makes, and then you've just got to try to squeeze the best results out of it. It's just, like you said, it's just a shakeup at an odd time. And not an odd time, but an important time. And so then you just have to figure out how to navigate through that and get yourself where you're trying to go.
The Bears' weaknesses have been well documented. They start slow. They can't stop anybody on defense unless they get takeaways, blah, blah, blah. And we get it. Where is Los Angeles vulnerable?
Special teams, they're a mess there. And I've said this a few times this week where you just acknowledge that if you're their opponent. You know, they dismiss their coordinator. This is a really good team that's won a lot of football games and making a special teams coordinator change in the month of December because of how big of a mess it is. And, oh, by the way, last week in the playoffs, they had some disasters as well. So any guy that plays in that third phase for the Bears should understand the vulnerability of the Rams, the opportunity that's there for them to put their fingerprints all over this game. That's a major weakness right there. Offensively, I can't find many weaknesses of this offense. They are so balanced. They are so well coordinated by Sean McVay. They are so well run by Matthew Stafford. They've got stars and Adams and Nacua. They've got a running game they can lean into. So you've got your hands full today with the Bears defense that, as we know, has been susceptible to the big play. And so you're going to have to limit those. And then to your point, like, I just there's going to come a point where you can't lean into fourth quarter magic to get everything done for you. And so the Bears better visit the end zone before halftime.
But
this
week,
right?
Like, yes.
There've been too many games really since the Thanksgiving week where they just have not been able to get into the end zone in the first half. And when you're constantly chasing, there's a fatigue factor that's eventually going to catch up to you.
But they do have the Mariano Rivera, the NFL, the best closer there is in Caleb Williams. So what can the Bears do to keep themselves within striking distance to give themselves a chance at the end of the game?
First of all, don't let it get to 21-3, right? Like, I don't think the Rams are going to blow that lead the way the Packers did. So, like, you better stay within arm's length there. And again, that's going to require the offense to do more in the first half than it has done. Defensively, you've just got to understand, right? Like, this is a very explosive offense. It's the most productive offense in the NFL this season. And you've got to find a way to do what you've done well all year, which is find a way to get a timely takeaway or two, right? Like, that's going to be key. And it's not going to happen easily against Matthew Stafford, whose career speaks for itself, you know? And so, look, like, you watched those playoff games yesterday, particularly the first one between Denver and Buffalo, and you realize there are, like, four or five moments within a game that swing history, right? And that's what we're talking about here. It swings history when you create mistakes at times that are very big, you know, and that happened to the Bills yesterday. And all, obviously there were some really close calls and some close plays. That's what playoff football is. And you know, if you want a cautionary tale for how hard it is to win this league, go to a support group up in Buffalo and talk to those folks. about just how good they've been for a long time and yet not gotten their hands on those big achievements that they've been waiting for.
Yeah, I was talking with Kevin Fishbane about this in our last segment. You know, when you watched the tears flowing at the podium from Josh Allen in the locker room after the game from Brandon Cooks and Deion Dawkins, there's no guarantee that you'll ever get back here. And that's a team that consistently has made the playoffs and had deep runs with Josh Allen. They just can't get to the Super Bowl. And anyone who started to follow the Bears at any point during your life, whether it was the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, 90s, and this millennium, you just know that these moments have been so rare for the Bears, opportunities to do what they're doing this year. And yeah, you can say, and look, on the surface, it appears to be the start of building something special, but you don't know. Football's a tough game. You don't know if you'll ever be back here. That's why when you get to this situation, man, you want to take advantage. And in my opinion, that's the big deal. I would like to think the Bears can do that because I think from an offensive standpoint, I think they can go toe-to-toe. But something that Dan has made me scratch my head a little bit, where has the running game gone? Where is that balance that the Bears need that made them so lethal during the regular season? And I don't know where Dan went. Apparently, he's disappeared. So we'll try and get him back in mere moments here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. But you know what I'm talking about? Like when it comes to the Bears running game, I think part of the reason that the Bears have had to have these miracle comebacks, at least through December and into the start of the postseason, is because the running game hasn't been there like it was earlier this year. And Dan Weider from The Athletic rejoins us. So, Dan, I'll ask you, what has happened to the Bears running game lately?
Yeah, I was giving a great answer, and I don't know what happened with our technology there. I was like, why does Zach keep interrupting me? This isn't like the text thread that we're on. Like, we gotta have a conversation here for the audience here. what I was saying, Zach, is the running game, it has dipped. It hasn't been bad. It just hasn't been as potent as it was, and some of those signature performances that they had throughout the season where they were able to just lean into that and let everything go. Now, again, running production is going to fall back a little bit when you're chasing 18-point deficits, you know, and so like the ability to play the game on your terms is a big deal today. And then just circling back to the conversation, the point you were making about seizing an opportunity like this, like Josh Allen's had seven playoff losses in his life, right? And three of them have been in overtime, you know, and it's just such a harsh reminder, a cruel reminder of what this league is, even to the best players that are in it, and how hard it is to reach that Sunday in February. And so you say that these opportunities are rare for the Bears. Well, it's rare in the NFL that a bracket is as wide open as this one is, right? Like, just look at the remaining quarterbacks here on the Sunday of the divisional round, right? Like, and you say, man, I don't know that I could ever find a bracket that would have it this wide open in terms of not having the established superstar quarterbacks in your way on the way to the Lombardi Trophy. And so, maybe you do use that today to tell your players, guys, like, this is the time to pounce. And like you were last Saturday night, you can be legendary if you just lock in and be the better football team for 3 hours today. And then we'll take a flight out to Seattle and see what's waiting.
What happened to the Bears running game?
Yeah, I think some of it is just situational, and then some of it is just like you've got to find answers against whichever defenses you're playing. And so Ben's going to have a challenge today of trying to get that unlocked a little bit better than it has been in recent weeks. And you know, if you alter your offensive line combination, now you've got to figure out what you're comfortable with, you know, and it's a little bit of a leap of faith when you're using pieces that you haven't used. So that's going to be really interesting today to see if they can get that going, take some pressure off Caleb, set up that play action game. And again, as we've talked about for a long time, get that offense humming a lot quicker than it's gotten humming in recent weeks.
Dan, I've been asking all the beat writers this because I think it's important. It's been such a huge week. You've had a week to process what happened last time out against the Packers, big game tonight against the Rams. And all of you guys have these huge notebooks filled with stuff. What haven't you been able to get in that you'd like to?
Great question. I don't have my notebook in front of me, but I'll try to give you something here I'll say this. Okay, like Colston Loveland, right? Like, this is probably a main stage topic here and maybe not as off the path as you might like, but this dude is like, your imagination can run wild with what this guy can be with this quarterback and this play caller next year, the year after that, into the 2030s, right? Like, that's how much promise this kid has shown over the last half of this season. And you just see how much of a weapon he is and how they're able to utilize him. And again, it's Colston, and then it's Colston combined with Caleb, and then it's Colston combined with Caleb and Ben. And you're like, oh man, like I rewatched that Packers game, and he has an all-time performance in his playoff debut. And there's probably 75 yards left out there for him, whether it be a ball that never came his way because pressure got home too quick, whether it's a throw that Caleb just barely missed. And you're like, man, like you can let your imagination run to the wildest places with what this kid can be as a weapon in your offense for a very long time. And so I would just start there in understanding that there's something special happening with your first round draft pick.
Great stuff, Dan. Seriously, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. Bundle up. It's going to be cold tonight.
That's all right. I'll be inside, and I'll be near all the heaters. It should be fun. Like, this is what Chicago lives for. It's what they wait for, and it should be a great environment out there. Always good talking, Zach.
Dan Weider from The Athletic. You can hear him on the podcast Take the North with Mark Rohde. Our producer, Adam Studzinski, is also heard on that podcast. And Dan, a guest nearly every day on The Score, providing his unique Bear insights. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're here until 10 o'clock. When we come back after the commercial break, we'll be joined by Fox 32's Lou Kanellis, the host of Bears Game Day Live. No one has greater perspective. Lou covered the Bulls when they were the Bulls, when Michael Jordan and the dynasty were putting things together. I want to know where this Bears team stacks up, because his true love and joy is the beloved. And I just want to know, you know, Lou probably started following the Bears in the 70s. A lot of lean years. Saw the championship in 85. Can the Bears regain that magic in the next 2 weeks and get back to a Super Bowl? We'll ask Lou next. This is The Score.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I see the similarities between the way that Stafford's been able to rally in the fourth quarter and the
You know, in some ways, yeah. You know, I haven't studied him quite as much as I've studied, you know, Caleb. I think Caleb is very comfortable in those moments. He's very comfortable in his ability to go out and execute. And, you know, there's something in there intrinsically that is driving him, you know, to really try to be the best and try to be, you know, the best in those types of situations. But, you know, I can speak to Caleb a lot better than I can speak to Matthew.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Bears offensive coordinator Declan Doyle talking about Caleb Williams. We don't have enough time to talk about all the great things that Caleb Williams has done this season, putting the Bears in this position, an opportunity with a win tonight against the Rams to go to Seattle and play in the NFC Championship game. Hi, everyone. It's game day. Bears, Rams, the most anticipated week that we've had here of Bears football in a long, long, long time. Really, since last week when the Bears played the Packers to open up the postseason. So we're here till 10, talking Bears football, getting every different angle you can possibly get when it comes to previewing this game. And I figured the guy that's about to jump on board with us, the host of Bears Game Day Live, he's getting ready right now as we speak for the show coming up a little bit later on this morning on Fox 32, is Fox 32 anchor Lou Kanellis. And he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Lou, it's been too long.
Good morning, Zach. As I look at Soldier Field and the smoke is coming out of the top, they are ready for football. And gosh, just what a great day for Bears fans.
I walked outside this morning to get some coffee before I drove down here to the studio. And I can tell you, and you know this, you've grown up here, you've lived here your whole life. I don't care how long you've been a Chicagoan, you never get used to this weather. And
never.
I can't imagine. It's not fun to play football. It's not fun for the Bears. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for the Rams.
It's going to be really uncomfortable. I'm telling you, and you know what? People keep referencing Matthew Stafford, and I was watching Courtney Cronin on SportsCenter. She talked about how he went to L.A. and he brought this scuba suit, should it ever be needed for a game like today where he wears a scuba suit underneath his uniform. Listen, there is something about 53 men on that roster having to deal with this weather. Stafford played in Detroit. Let's not forget he played in a dome. But even if Stafford is used to this weather, I'm not sure all those guys that wear Rams uniforms are used to it, nor do they want to play in weather like this. And to me, it's a huge deal, as you said. I think the weather will be a factor. Doesn't look like wind will be a factor. But Ben Johnson thought it was a big enough deal that he had his team practicing in this weather since the middle of December without heaters on the sidelines, despite the fact that his players, that his leaders wanted heaters on the sidelines. He said, no, I want you to get used to it like this. So I think it is a factor. Do I think it's a factor to the point that it means the Bears are going to win? It's going to be that decisive factor in the game? I'm not sure about that, but you're right. Getting used to, you know, below zero temps with the wind late in a football game, especially if you're down. And that's why the Bears cannot afford to open this football game and play the first two or three quarters like they did against the Packers last week or the Lions in the regular season finale. They need to be more in the game in the first half.
I'm going to go back to my WBBM days, and here's the forecast from the National Weather Service, fresh off the presses here, Lou. Snow likely mainly after 5 p.m., mostly cloudy, high near 21, wind chill values as low as 5 below, southwest wind around 15 miles per hour, gusts as high as 25 miles per hour, chance of precipitation 60%, new snow accumulation of less than a half inch possible. So I think if you're the Bears, it's not going to be the deciding factor, but man, oh man, you've got to make weather your friend. And that gets us to what you were just talking about, Lou. Why is it that Caleb Williams is like an old-fashioned car that you're trying to warm up in the Chicago cold before that baby heats up and starts to go?
Well, I think we heard from Ben Johnson this week, and he was asked the question, why does Williams get so hot in the fourth quarter? And we know how Ben loves to run the football, and they've tried, and they really tried. I mean, we went into the game last week saying, oh, my gosh, the Bears are going to run all over Green Bay because they ran for, what, a $150 in the one game against the Packers, and we saw what Tennessee did to that Packers run defense running for over 300. And the Bears had a tough time last week. And I think Ben is one of those guys who sticks to it. And it didn't allow Caleb Williams to get into a rhythm. Now you're in the fourth quarter, second half, 21-3, you're down. Now you get to the fourth quarter where you need some magic. And you're throwing on every down just about. And now Caleb gets into that rhythm that he wanted to get into. And I just think this guy thrives when all odds are against him. It's happened throughout his career. There's an expectation from Caleb Williams that he's going to do something miraculous out there on the football field, like drop a dime to Roma Dunze on fourth and eight. I mean, we've seen passes like this from Williams all year long. It just seems, it seems like every week there's something new that just blows us away. So I believe that today, getting the running game going against a real good defensive front in L.A. is incredibly important. And remember, their secondary, that Rams secondary stinks. So there will be opportunities to throw the football downfield, and no team in football had more explosive plays than the Bears did this season. So I think running the football and looking for that explosive play early on will be key for this Bears offense.
Fox 32 anchor Lou Kanellis is with us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Before we get to what's on tap for Bears Game Day Live a little bit later on this morning, you have great perspective. So I imagine your first memories of the Bears probably in, what, the 1970s during the sweetness era, and then obviously the 80s were great. They won a championship, had deep playoff runs, but a lot more disappointment because they weren't able to repeat. the 90s, forgettable. This millennium, you had the Lovie Smith team in 2006, led by Devin Hester, and that great defense that won the NFC Championship. And it's been few and far between since then. So put this year into perspective. I know we think it's the start of something special, but you never know. So when you're in a situation like this, and Josh Allen is no longer in the playoffs, there's no Patrick Mahomes, there's no Joe Burrow, it's still wide open, Lou. It's wide open.
Man, I'm glad you brought it up, Zach, because you know the relationship that I have with Jeff Joniak. Jeff and I grew up in the business together, started working together back in 1985 at the old Sports Phone. And Jeff comes into the studio for Bears Game Night Live with Tom, and at the end of the season, we'd look at each other like he would walk into my office and say, you know, we'd give the old, you know, fist bump. And he's like, damn, it just keeps happening. What's going on? Because we have suffered for so long. I've been doing Bears Game Night and Bears Game Day with Jeff and Tom for 20 years. And in that time, four times they've gone to the playoffs. Four times. I missed the Super Bowl in 2006. And I think back to, you know, you said I've been following the team since the 70s. Quick side story. So I'm 61. So for all the old guys listening, I'm going to throw some names at you, because my dad would put my snowmobile outfit on me. We grew up in Oaklawn. We would take the van through Old Italy over on Wood, pick up some of our friends, tailgate in the south lot. This was before there was a Waldron deck. Go to the games. My godfather left his season tickets for me in his will in the 60s. So when I was able to walk and get to Soldier Field over the 18th Street Bridge, along with also tailgating in the south lot, we would go to these games, and I would watch bad football, man. Abe Gibran, Jack Pardee, all right, Neil Armstrong. The only reason I would be out there cheering would be to watch Walter Payton and Roland Harper. Those were the days that I remember. And then, yeah, I was sitting in the stands when the last time the Bears played the Rams in the playoffs and Wilbur Marshall picked up that loose ball and went 52 yards with the snow coming down, and I'm going bananas because I know that they're going to the Super Bowl. So you are talking to the ultimate Bears fan. And we lived through some, boy, they were lean times in the 90s, great times with Urlacher and Hester, all right, and Lovie Smith. And finally it's here, but you're right. Nothing is guaranteed, buddy. This is the time. Take advantage of it. Josh Allen's been in the league 8 years, may not be a better quarterback in the league, and I include Patrick Mahomes, and he still hasn't been to the big game. I felt his emotion when he cried, all right, talking to the media yesterday. I wanted the Buffalo to win, not because I dislike Denver, because I wanted Allen to get there. So, yeah, this is a great opportunity for the Bears, and I want Bears fans. And let me say this about Bears fans. Man, they have come out. They rocked that place last week, and I know they will today. And this city, and I get last week, you know, because it was the Packers, this city hasn't embraced what the Bears are doing right now. I'm going to go back a long time. I know people are going to say 2010. People are going to say 2006. Boy, I don't remember the city coming together like this for a Bears run in a long time. A long time. I'm going to go back, oh, man, to 86 Super Bowl time, NFC Championship time against the Rams. Sean Landetta whiffing on the punt in the game before that Rams game. It's been a long time, Zach.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I think there's a greater appreciation now for being able to be in this position after it not being there for so very long. Lou, what's on tap today on Bears Game Day Live before we say goodbye?
Special time. Thanks for asking. Zach, we're on at 12:30. Cassie Carlson drew the short straw. She did all season long, but no one does the job better. Live from Soldier Field, Jeff and Tom, live from Soldier Field. Tina, tailgating with the fans, and I'll have Big A, Anthony Heron, who I know you know well, alongside in studio. And then immediately after the game, we don't have the game. The great folks at NBC have the game, but immediately after the game, we are doing a post-game show on Fox 32 Chicago, your home of the Bears.
Great stuff, Lou. Have a great day of broadcasting, and hopefully you have something to celebrate when all is said and done.
Zach, thanks for asking me to join you, man. It's been too long.
You got it. Lou Kanellis from Fox 32 spending some time with us. Quick break. When we come back, your phone calls next. 312-644-6767. In addition to your calls, we'll hear from NFL Network Stacey Dales and a special edition, a Sunday Bigs Time, coming up at 9:40 right here on The Score.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.